dandy bally you.
Doodly doody do.
Dandy, 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 dandelion. Wish that there were more of you. Some people think that dandelions are a pest, but I think dandelions are the best. Dandelion, don't you know, are really cool, and dandelion haters should go back to school. Make them into necklaces and bracelets too. You can decorate your laces to tie your shoe. You can make them into salad greens or dandelion tea. That's why dandelions are for me.
Dandy, 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 dandelion. Something pretty dandy about you.
Doodly doody doo.
We wish that there were more of you.
Now this next song is also going to feature my daughters, Jennifer and Kristen. Actually, I forgot to mention that they wrote that last song. Did I say that? I'll say it a few more times. They wrote that last song.
When they were little.
When they were little. Littler, I think sure. Yeah. Okay, she's going to look for the song, and I'll start introducing it. We're so well organized tonight. This song is in honor of two Washington women, Emma Smith DeVoe and May Arkwright Hutton. And these two women are primarily responsible for the fact that in Washington State, women got the vote about 10 years sooner than they did in other parts of the country before it was passed nationally, and because of these two women. But these two women were quite different, one from the other. Now, May Arkwright Hutton, let's see, Emma Smith DeVoe first was quite a proper lady. She was given to wearing high lace collars. She was a fine organizer, a very fine mind. But she believed in working quietly behind the scenes. She was based in Tacoma. She would do things like having teas for the legislators' wives. Now, May, on the other hand, had a very different background and upbringing, and she was a big woman, and she liked lots of publicity, and she was, as soon as they had cars in there, she had to have a big red one and wore big hats. This was May. At one point, Emma's secretary sent a letter to May saying she thought she was not eligible for membership in the Washington Suffrage Association because of her coarse language and questionable past. Now, this sets the scene for a bit of conflict. And my daughters are very good at portraying conflict. So,
Emma Smith DeVoe was a lady of no small acclaim. Her name was synonymous with grace and gentility. Emma Smith DeVoe was a leader of wit and of charm. Her style was disarmingly steeped in civility. Then there was May, ha, May, wee, May Arkwright Hutton from the east side of the mountains with a passion for a fight. May, ha, May, wee, May, bigger than an army, hats and furs and feathers, lordy mercy, what a sight. Emma Smith DeVoe was a slow, thoughtful lady whose style was to smile as she'd lobby for women's equality. Emma came from the east to Tacoma in 1906. She organized women to fight but act womanly.
Then there was May, ha, May, wee, May R. Cried Hutton. Rags to riches lady made a fortune in the mines. May, ha, May, hee, Lord of bold and breasty. Impudent and sassy, never one to toe the line. Emma and May, how they argued and lobbied and fought. Each thought that the other's defeat would bring victory. It still goes on today, some flies high and as bright as a kite.
But the strings held by those on the earth planted solidly.
Women like May, ha, May, wee, May R. Cried Hutton. Wild song is common as our passion to be free.
Women like Emma, Emma, graceful, bright, and cultured. We all need each other to achieve equality.
I'd like to invite up now some very special guests, and these three women. Well, Nadine and I met here at Holden years ago and became friends and did some singing and music together. And then she moved to Portland after her time in Holden and met these other two women, and together they have formed the group Straw into Gold. Now, tomorrow night they will be giving the full concert. And after you hear this number, you will understand that you do not want to miss it if you are in the village. It's just an amazing blend of voices. And I feel quite honored because one of the first songs that they learned to sing was one of mine called Weaving and Quilting. And just a tiny bit about this song. It was inspired by interviews with women of the Klickitat tribe, which is no longer a tribe in existence. It's been taken into other tribes. But there are those who remember how basket making was very important in the tribe and how there were certain patterns that were passed down from mother to daughter. And those pattern names will come up in the chorus of the song. And I also knew out of my own Anglo tradition that quilting patterns were also passed down through mother to daughter. So this is a song about that kind of heritage. Do you need any more mics?
I think we'll...
Okay.
Yeah, actually, that would be nice.
If you've been hearing Linda Allen this week, you know she's a great singer, but we really love her, the song she writes. And I think sometimes unless you sing, you don't really listen to the way a song is crafted. And she's a master at it.
Yes, she is.
We thank her for the song.
Hear, hear.
My grandmother's hands wove cedar and bear grass into this fine basket I hold in my hands. To hold bitterroot, camas, fern, tiger lily, blackberries, cranberries, gifts from the land. My great-grandma Tosely passed on her knowledge to her daughter Sally. She was only six then. Our tribe's own designs, such as salmon gill, trail of eel, flowers for women and deer for the men.
My grandmother's hands worked with bright colored fabrics taken from dresses I wore long ago, with strong cotton thread and the finest of needles, weaving my memories in patterned sheets. Oh,
Susan when she was just 9. Lone Star, Log Cabin, the sweet rose of Sharon, basket, medallion, her favorite design. Salmon gill, trail of eel, flowers and deer, bring in the lives of our ancestors near. Lone Star, Log Cabin, basket design, weaving and quilting our stories entwine.
Salmon gill, trail of eel, flowers and deer.
Salmon gill, the lives of our ancestors near. Salmon gill, trail of eel, weaving and quilting our stories entwine. Weaving and quilting our stories entwine. Weaving and quilting our stories entwine.
Treat that is. I forgot to give you the names of the other women. It's Pam and Lori. I'm sure you'll recognize because she's been here on teaching staff all week, so I've had a chance to get to know Lori Miller. Now I'd like to call up our two dancers. We have a real treat for you here. Maya and Melissa. I put out a call for dancers early in the week and somehow had it in my mind adults, and Maya and Melissa showed up, and it turned out they were exactly what I was looking for. So I'm delighted that they're here. So, just a moment. Oh, and we also have a chorus. Yay! Circle Me Sisters. Now the way the choruses that sing with me, the way they have to work is I say, well, this is what the song sounds like, now make up parts. It's a little tricky, but there are usually a few people in the village willing to rise to the occasion, and these folks did and have done a beautiful job.
Circle me, sisters, drink the cool waters, sing me down softly, let me go home. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm free. Sometimes I can't break these chains around me. Circle me, sisters, drink the cool waters, sing me down softly, let me go home. Now if I had the strength, Lord, if I had the time, I'd learn how to sing, oh my, and I'd learn how to fly. Circle me, sisters, drink the cool waters, sing me down softly, let me go home. But I don't feel like singing, I got no wings to fly. But if you circle me, sisters, I'll learn by and by. Circle me, sisters, drink the cool waters, sing me down softly, let me go
home. We lost a songbook. We're just doing great here, but it'll show up in a moment here. This song, I tend to do a lot of writing out of women's lives, out of women's history. It's a real interest of mine. And I've always been interested in the Rosie the Riveters, because my mother was one, worked as a truck mechanic in Tacoma. And I've always been interested in what happened to the women after the war. There was a woman who worked at Boeing during World War II, and this is a bit of a quote. She said, the day the war ended, every woman in there got it. Lead man came round and said, Francis, you can hang up your torch. War's over. Boys are coming home. And I said, you can go home now. So she said, I picked up a piece of scrap iron, and I carved my initial in it. This was to be my proof for my children and my great-grandchildren that I really was a burner in the wartime. It's all I know of her story, so I kind of made one up, and I call it Rosie the Riveter. Ah, crunch, crunch, crunch. Revisited.
My strong right arm built the ship that sailed to war. My strong right arm built the ship, and what was that all for? In 1941, the war had just begun. Jim was so young, but soon was off to hold a gun. I was 19, our child was only 3, when the paper said the shipyards needed me. I moved to Bremerton in 1942. I learned to weld. I was the best one on our crew. The work was hard. The heat would burn my lungs all day. But when the paycheck came, we girls would feel okay. In 1943, in August, 8 a.m., I'd not been sleeping well. My mind was filled with Jim. There was a knock. A man in uniform stood there. He said my Jim was dead. I hadn't seen him in 2 years. In 1945, the war came to an end. And on that very day, the big boss, he came in. He smiled and said, my girls, the boys are coming home. You've earned a rest, go home. Your work here now is done. Picked up a scrap of metal, and I carved my name full bore, so my child would know I was a welder in the war. No place to go, I was a widow with a child, so I waitressed, and I cooked, and I married in a while.
Sometimes I see that scrap with my name carved in so deep. And I recall the day the boss told me to leave. How I felt like some old rag they tossed aside, as useless as my patriotic pride. My strong right arm built the ship that sailed to war. My strong right arm built the ship, and what was that all for?
They're coming after you.
They got their petitions. They're coming after you.
They state their position that you're deviant, you're dangerous. Surely you're not one of us. Be you lesbian or gay, they'll take your human rights away. They're coming after you. And I'm taking an interest, and I'm taking a stand. Now they came for the commies, they came for the gays, and they came for the blacks, and we turned away. They came for the unionists, came for the Jews. Soon they'll be coming for me. I gotta stand up for you.
Stand up, stand up. Stand up, stand up.
They're coming after you.
They put their names on the line. All the evil that some do.
Sad sign of the times. When the world's out of control, got to blame some other soul. Point a finger, call it sin. It happens now and it happened then. They're coming after you. And I'm taking an interest, and I'm taking a stand. Now they came for the commies, they came for the gays, and they came for the blacks, and we turned away. They came for the unionists, came for the Jews. Soon they'll be coming for me. I gotta stand up for you.
Stand up, stand up. Stand up, stand up.
Gotta stand up for you.
Stand up, stand up.
Stand up for you.
Thanks. I had a good friend a few years ago. And she was dying of cancer. And when she first found out about it, we went walking together. And I thought, well, I'll cheer her up, you know. And what I found very quickly is what I suppose many of you who have had friends die, or who are dying, know, that they have so much more to teach us than anything we could learn from them. And this was truly my experience with my friend Kathy. Because from that very first walk, I saw that her life had already been transformed. And she then went, over the next 5 years of her dying and of her journey, she became a teacher to all of us in her community. And she drew us together in ways we'd never been drawn together. Many of us didn't know each other. But as her death came closer, she said, "I want to die at home." She was a single woman, and I need support to do that. So she rallied her friends, and friends gathered around, and she'd have round-the-clock care. And she said, "I want music." So her musician friend, she was a cellist, a teacher, so her musician friends gathered around, and we'd take shifts, and we'd play for her. And she said, "I want to be touched. People are afraid to touch dying people." So we would massage her feet, touch her, tell her we loved her. Because towards the end, conversations became more and more cryptic, and they had a lot to do with love. And she continued to teach us all the way through the process. So this is what I learned from Kathy. It has a pretty singable chorus, and I hope you can join me. I went out walking with a friend yesterday. She was laughing and smiling all the way. I'd come to comfort, she had almost lost her life, but instead she had a few things to say. And she said, nothing's more important than love in the world. Nothing's more important than love. When it's all said and done and there's no place to run, nothing's more important than love. Cancer got my mother, and it almost got me. No way to know, it might get me yet. But my body's been rocking in the love of my friends, and it's a lesson I'll never forget. And she said, nothing's more important than love in the world. Nothing's more important than love. When it's all said and done and there's no place to run, nothing's more important than love. What seemed important just a short time ago seems like nothing, just dust in the wind. And I thank heaven. But what... This was a sermon last summer about this time given by Scott Hosrud. And this is the story that he told. If any of you were here, you would remember this story. This is directly quoted from his sermon. This last year I read the story of Vidran Smilovic, who was a cellist in the Sarajevo Symphony. One day a year ago last May, at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 22 people were killed by Serbian mortar fire while standing in line outside of a bakery. For the next 22 days, Smilovic brought his chair and cello to that deserted street at 4 p.m., and with Serbian shells crashing around him, played Albinoni's Adagio to honor each person who had died. I was so moved by that story, I really wanted to find a way to keep the story alive and to write a song about it. What amazed me was the shape the song came in. It's been my philosophy for a long time that I don't write the songs, as some famous songwriter said. I just write them down, and this was certainly the case with this song. There was a voice that seemed to want to be heard. I call it Sarajevo. It was only for bread that I died. Not as a soldier defending our land. Not as a doctor with blood on my hands. But just as a woman whose children were hungry at home. It was only for bread that I died. It was only for God that I died. Not for the God of the Croats or Serbs, not Christian, not Muslim, not life's sacred word, but the God of destruction and chaos and vengeance and greed. It was only for God that I died. It was only for love that I died. Love for my children whose eyes are too old. Love for my husband whose supper grows cold. Whose rough hands must now tend these children and soon hold a gun.
was only for love that I died. It is only through music I live. A gentle adagio floats through the wind. The cellist's hands tremble as mortars begin. And the music calls memories of lovers and friends I have known. Oh, my home. It is only through music I live. It was only for bread that I died.
Thank you. Well, we have a very special guest, Sarah Forth, who has been teaching in the village all week. I happened to catch her class on Dorothy Day, and it was just wonderful. And she will be dancing to this song as soon as I find it. I can't believe it.
I'm going to do it again. Thank you, Mary.
An issue for me in the church for a very long time has been the issue of language and of images of God. In fact, I taught a class on that this week. We talked a lot about images of God. And it took me 20 years to try and articulate something of how I feel about this issue. It just seemed to take me 20 years to find a way to do that. And I think that what I had to do was just get very personal, because that's what it always boils down to. Because what I finally realized was I had to take it out of the realm of a political issue. I had to take it to the realm of my own life experience and to say, for so many men and the women and women in the church who find, back up here, when they talk about gender and God, for many people, it's a non-issue because the image of God Father works very well. And so when you try and get a dialogue going in the church, it's like, what's the big deal? So what I had to do was find a way to articulate what was the big deal for me, because within my community of friends, it is a big deal. And with so many women I know, it's one of the key issues of why they do not feel they can be a part of a church in which the language is so patriarchal. So, with that, it's my introduction to this song. I wanted to let you know, too, you'll recognize the tune. I usually don't use standard tunes, but this tune is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing from the Lutheran Book of Worship, number 499. Now, somehow this seemed fitting. I thought women could do a little guerrilla work. You know, I'll be happy to supply you with words. And when this tune comes, Sam, you know, it's worked for the Wobblies and for all kinds of social movements. Just, you know, might work.
God, I know you as a spirit blowing through me like a wind. You are the spirit of the water. You are the source. You are the end. God, I know you as a mother, giving birth to all I am. But I cannot call you Father, and I know you understand. God, how many names we've called you. Great Jehovah, great I am. You are the lion, you're the shepherd. Mother eagle, gentle lamb. And Jesus called you Abba. He knew Joseph's loving hand, but I cannot call you Father, and I know you understand. And now I hear the hymns around me. Heavenly Father, Lord of hosts, and the child is blessed with water, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But how many fathers, daughters feel like strangers in this land? Silent tears to bear the sorrow. God, I know you understand. God, I know you as a spirit blowing through me like a wind. You are the spirit of the water. You are the source, you are the end. God, I know you as a mother, giving birth to all I am. But I cannot call you Father, and I know you understand. No, I cannot call you Father, and I know you understand. Thank you. Well, we're going to finish up with just a few more tunes with the help of the choir. So, choir, why don't you come up and we'll move around mic stands and music stands and stuff here. Now, this chorus is, as I've mentioned, quite an amazing group and much appreciated. This is a song that I wrote about that process of aging, which seems to be particularly difficult in this culture for women. And it was a song I wrote. The reason it's called October Roses, which is the title, is that my mother-in-law and my mother and I all share birthdays in October, 3 days apart. And one year we were particularly absorbed in aging issues, since one was 70, one was 60, and one was almost 40 at that time. That was 10 years ago, which... Now we're all getting absorbed again in a new... but it is true that there's not a lot of affirmation for that process in our culture. We're sold quite a bill of goods on the media. Try and convince us to take the gray out of our hair or the wrinkles out of our faces in order to be socially acceptable. And yet when I look around at the women who have been such models to me. You know, I just bless every gray hair and wrinkle, and may I age as well. You say you are sorry for the youth that you lack, for the sag of your breast, for the bend in your back, for your hair turning gray and the tears that now flow, for the choices you made such a long time ago. Spring roses are lovely, they make my heart sing, and in summer the roses sweet memories bring. But I most need the rose when the bitter winds call. October roses are the fairest of all. October roses are the fairest of all. As a maid you were lovely, your cheeks bloomed so red, and you gave your heart freely, too freely, you said. As a woman full grown, you knew passion and strife, and a gentle heart torn with the thorns of your life. Spring roses are lovely, they make my heart sing, and in summer the roses sweet memories bring. But I most need the rose when the bitter winds call. October roses are the fairest of all. October roses are the fairest of all. Now you're growing older, sometimes you feel done, but your strong roots still hold you, you still find the sun. For you blossom with wisdom and courage and care. You're the fairest of roses that bloom anywhere. Spring roses are lovely, they make my heart sing. And in summer the roses sweet memories bring. But I most need the rose when the bitter winds call. October roses are the fairest of all. October roses are the fairest of all.
Well, we're going to finish up. One last song. Before I do, I want to mention that back over there, there's a little table. And on that table, there are cassettes of Straw Into Gold, the group you heard earlier and who will be giving a concert tonight, and also some cassettes and songbooks of mine tomorrow night. What did I say?
Tonight.
Yeah, just stay tuned. You know, you all don't mind. I will be leaving tomorrow, and so if there's any tapes or anything of mine that you would like, they will be here tonight and in the bookstore in the morning until 10 or 11, but you might want to not wait longer than that. They'll be gone. So I just want to thank you all so much for being here. I first came to Holden in 1966, and it has been a point of reference. And it took me about 20-some years to make it back again, but it has remained a point of reference in my life in ways that I can't begin to describe. So I'm glad it's here. I'm glad you're here and that we're all part of this amazing Holden community. Now, last week, apparently, they celebrated Mary, and I missed out on that. So we'll do our own celebration tonight. The other class I gave, neither of these classes have I ever given before, and it was really a fun challenge, but the other class I gave was on biblical women. So this is a look at the life of Mary.
Mary. Mary, Mary, there's a strange light coming, and it's coming to your window now. It's standing at your door, and you welcome the mystery, the God-given ecstasy. You cry, my soul does magnify the bringer of the light. And the light's still shining, Mary, Mary, can you see? And the child you carry carries on the mystery. God's great promise in a young girl's body. Glory, glory, blessed be, glory, glory, blessed be. Mary, Mary, it's your young boy teaching, and he's preaching in the temple, and the elders turn and stare. Mary, Mary, you know it's the sweet unfolding God's great mystery. There's magic in the air, and the light's still shining. Mary, Mary, can you see? And the child you carry carries on the mystery. God's great promise in a young girl's body. Glory, glory, blessed be, glory, glory, blessed be. Mary, Mary, it's your son who's dying. It's the world turned blind, and in the darkness there is fear. But the dark hole's a promise, and the cool earth is resting, and the sweet rain's returning, singing spring will soon be here. And the light's still shining, Mary, Mary, can you see? And the child you carry carries on the mystery. God's great promise in a young girl's body. Glory, glory, blessed be, glory, glory, blessed be. Mary, Mary, in the room you're waiting, and the rush of wings beats loudly round. The friends all gathered here, and the fire comes dancing, and the sweet voices singing, and the light comes shining. There's freedom in the air, and the light's still shining. Mary, Mary, can you see? And the child you carry carries on the mystery. God's great promise in a young girl's body. Glory, glory, blessed be, glory, glory, blessed be. And the light's still shining, Mary, Mary, can you see? And the child you carry carries on the mystery. God's great promise in a young girl's body. Glory, glory, blessed be, glory, glory, blessed be, glory, glory,